Please remain standing. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're going to read the first 10 verses together. Sorry, I had to get my water here. Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke 11, verses 1 through 10. Luke 11, verses 1 through 10. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, would you do that which I cannot do? Would you begin to speak to the hearts and the minds and apply this in each and every person's life as they have need? Help us to walk away with a closer walk with you because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in Luke chapter 11 is, we read a passage that, and I'm going to use a word here, denominationalism has abused. They call it the Lord's Prayer. How many of you have ever heard that passage called that? I don't call it that. Notice it didn't. The disciples didn't come to Jesus and say, teach us a prayer. The disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. Prayer has always seemed to be the most difficult part of the Christian life to me. Now, it's not hard to do as far as ask God for something, but to really get a hold of God in prayer seemed to always be the hardest factor of the Christian life to me. Maybe it's just me, but it always seemed like it was a one-sided conversation to me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It felt like I was doing all the talking and not getting any of the answering back. It seemed awful awkward to me to approach God and just start asking for what I want. I hate saying it this way, and I don't mean this in a in a critical way, but it almost seemed a Catholic thing. I just did it because I was supposed to do it, and it was ritualistic. And I just did it because I was supposed to do it. And when I got done, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. Bye. And you walk out, you almost don't know how to end, you know? Jesus and his disciples were together, and the disciples were hearing Jesus pray. He was praying. That means this, and don't get mad at me, Jesus wasn't doing this, like you see in the pictures. They can't hear him do anything that way. They heard him talking to God. Now, I don't believe Jesus was standing up on a rock saying, Oh, God, and talking that way either. He didn't have to yell at him. God's capable to hear us. But they heard Jesus pray. And they said, Wow, we sure would like to talk to God the way Jesus does. We sure would like to get a hold of him like he does. They were hearing him talk to his father. They wanted to learn. I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 1 again. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. I want you to notice that disciple didn't say, teach us how to get our prayers answered like you get. It didn't say, teach us to get results in prayer. He said, Lord, teach us to pray and have a relationship with God like you have. That's a big difference. Now, I believe God wants to answer our prayers. He doesn't always answer them with yes, but he does want to answer our prayers. He doesn't always answer them the way we think they need answered. Early yesterday morning, I prayed about a visit that I was going to make with Brother Ron to go see a man that I had witnessed to with Brother Joe. When I got there, that guy wasn't there. But I got to win somebody else to the Lord. God knew who was going to be there. Guess what? God answered my prayer, but not the way I prayed it. I was still excited. Now, listen to me very carefully here. The disciples weren't looking for things. They didn't say, wow, Brother Stoltz, if I can learn to pray like Jesus, I can get anything he gets. They didn't say, teach us how to get our prayers answered. They said, we've heard you talk to God. Wow, could you teach us how to talk to him that way? Could you teach us how to have the relationship with God and be able to talk to him the way you do? Folks, when I learned that prayer was not just a repetition of words or a going to God and just talking one-sidedly to him and telling him everything I wanted to tell him and walking away, and I learned that prayer was a relationship, my prayer life changed. Sally and I were talking. We have a friend that we both know. Some of you would know the name, Brother Stoltz. I know you know the name. But when I went to Bible college, there was a man there named Phil Sally. Phil Sally is an old tobacco salesman. Got saved, and when he got saved, he got saved. Phil Sally is about as West Virginia country as you could get. I mean, he is just rough as a dried out corn cob from last year. I mean, rough. I've seen him tear up college boys up one side and down another. He sometimes even forgot he was saved and used words he shouldn't use. He said, it's okay, God will forgive me. And he would do it. I didn't agree with it, but he did it. Now, wait a minute. I used to love to hear Brother Sally pray at chapel. Here's how Brother Sally would pray. There would be a prayer request for somebody that was sick. Now, dear Jesus, this Brother Phil, he said, that baby's sick. If that were my baby, I'd want a whole bunch of people praying for him, so we're praying for him. Lord, if that was your baby, you'd want that baby to get well. I mean, that's how he talked to God. You'd hear people giggling, laughing sometimes the way he'd talk to God. I thought, wow, that man's so sincere. That man is so sincere, he just talks to God. I know Phil Sally. I love Phil Sally. Phil Sally is my friend. And Phil Sally, through the years, by his example, taught me prayer is a relationship. It's not, and I'll use this term, it's not getting up with a bunch of fancy words trying to impress somebody, including God. Did you know God has a better vocabulary than you? You're not going to impress him. Did you know you can't speak a real language that he doesn't understand? These idiots that get up and, oh, I got tongues and I'm jibber jabbering. God doesn't even understand that mess. But I'm talking about a real language. God understands them all. Prayer is not some formal ritual that we go before God in an austere way. It's a relationship with your daddy. That's really what it is. If you go to the book of, I believe it's book of Acts or book of Romans, I've lost the reference in my head. It says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Wait a minute. The word Abba means daddy. You know, when I go to my mom and dad's house, I don't blow the trumpet in the driveway. I don't roll out a carpet and say, oh, thou father. Good night. My dad would pull the gun out for sure and pull the trigger on that one. Just this week, let me show you something sweet. Just this week on Monday, my son Jeff, my middle child, he called me Monday morning. Jeff is one of the most even-natured, tempered people you'll find. He is just like my wife. He is one of the most stable young people I've ever met. My son called me and said, Dad, I am really mad. I don't think I've heard Jeff say that 3 times in his whole life. I'm not kidding. I thought, something's really bad going wrong here. Well, his bank had messed some things up. And he was so mad that they weren't fixing it. He was changing banks then. But he said, I just got to blow off some steam. Thinking, wow, okay. He said, Dad, what do you think? I said, well, I think you ought to do this. And I said, you know, you're a man. You got to do what you got to do. He said, I'm just not going to take this. I said, okay. He said, they're going to hurt my reputation over this, and I'm not going to let them do that. I thought, 20 years old, and I'm glad he's that self-conscious of it. But he just called to blow some steam off so he didn't say something he shouldn't to somebody else. Now, wait a minute. My daughter called me the same day. Say, what did she call you for? She called me before she went to work and said, Daddy, just called to say I love you. Ooh, man, did I need that one. Man, I needed that one. She always wants to talk, but it wasn't anything important to talk about. She just wanted to say, I love you. And a little bit later, I think on Tuesday, my son Josh called me, and he had a question about church and church work and different things. And he said, Dad, I talked to Brother Fugit. He said, I should ask you. And he said, I'd like your opinion on this. And you've seen this and this. He said, what do you think? And he was just asking me a question. Do you know that my children, when I answered the phone, they weren't saying, oh, thou holy father. Say, what would you do? Click. In a way, they weren't saying, oh, holy father, may I beseech thee for thy wisdom. Okay, something bad's wrong, or I'm getting set up for something really bad here. You say, why? They have a relationship with me. They have the right to call and say, Dad, can we talk? Yeah, we can. Sunday night after church is kind of the night that it's the one night I think we talk to all three of the kids. I don't know why they have all chosen it, but Sunday night after church, we're on the phone for a while. And it usually is one will call my phone, one calls her phone, we talk, we switch. Then the other one's trying to chime in now that she's at college. So we're to the point now, we just leave them on speakerphone and we just do the whole thing, you know? It gets crazy. Can I tell you something? We look forward to that. I look forward to talking to my children here in the next couple hours. I'm looking forward to find out how their day went. I'm looking forward to see what God blessed them with this weekend and how God has been working in their life and find out what needs they have and their problems and try to help them and give them advice if they ask for it and not try to push my way on it and all those kind of things. You know, that's kind of what prayer is. The disciples were asking Jesus how to get a closeness with God in prayer. not get things answered. Can I tell you something? God's going to answer your prayer whether you ask for it or not. Amen, Brother Stoltz? God gave you Reese's Peanut Butter Cups tonight and you didn't even ask for them. Yeah, buddy. God gave him his request before he even asked. Amen? God has a way of doing that. I still have a 3-pound bag, 2.5-pound bag of Skittles at my house. Because someone answered that prayer for me last week that I did not pray. Now, wait a minute. God is not an Aladdin's lamp and we rub it and the genie pops out and we tell him what we want. He gives us what he wants and he pops back in the lamp till the next time we rub the lamp. That's usually our approach to prayer. Okay, time to talk to God. Let me rub the bottle. Oh, there's God. You do not look like I thought. You look a little bit more, you're getting there, big, a little bit more like Buddha. Oh, wait a minute. That's kind of how we approach prayer. And when we're done, we say, okay, get back in the bottle. I'll pull you out later. That's not prayer. Prayer is a relationship. Prayer is a closeness with God. The disciple said, can you teach us to have the relationship in prayer with the Father like you have Jesus? Notice they did not ask for how to get answers to prayer. Notice they didn't say, how do we get things from God? Would you teach us how to talk to him that way? Because that is incredible. I'm sure there are people who pray more fancy words than I do. I'm sure there are people who may pray more hours than I do. I can't tell you, I'm as close to my God as I want to be. But I can tell you this, I long to spend time with him. I love to spend time with him. I love to, every day of my life, pray for the people in this room and go to God and spend time and say, God, would you bless Joe and his family and Evan and Ellen and their families. And I just go through and I pray for Rhonda and I pray for everybody in this room by name and others. Can I tell you something? It doesn't take long. Somebody says, oh, thank you for praying for me. And I'm thinking, do you know how much of an honor it is to go to God and just spend time in his presence? To me, it's the honor of being able to talk to God. You give me an excuse to have more things to go to him for. I enjoy being with God. I love going to God and talking to him and say, God, this family has this need and I don't know how to fix it, but could we talk a while about it? Whew. It's exciting to me. When there's failure, I'm sure it's my fault. It's not God that's the problem, it's me. I long to not have those failures, but can I tell you something? Those failures drive me to spend more time with him. My children have not always been exactly and done everything the exact way I think they should do it, and sometimes they've failed. But guess what? We're closer because of it. Now listen to me. I want to give you just, four simple statements here. Four little principles that will help you. Number one, spend time, first of all, loving on God. Before you ever ask God for anything, spend time loving on him. Tell him why you love him. You know, something I learned a long time ago, I was made in God's image. Do you know I like to be loved? I do. I enjoy being loved. But I enjoy loving more than I enjoy being loved. Now watch this. Do you know God enjoys being loved? He already loves us, but he wants some of that back. Some of you have grown children, and it grieves you that they don't love you like you love them. How do you think God feels? How do you think God feels? When's the last time you loved on God? When's the last time you just looked to God and said, God, I love you. This is why I love you. And you began to list some reasons as to why God, you love him. When's the last time you told God how good he was? When's the last time you looked at something and said, God, I can't believe you made this for me to enjoy. It's called lunch. I mean, it's called ice cream. Whatever it is, God made it for you to enjoy. He made your taste bud to enjoy it. He didn't make boiled okra to be enjoyed, but fried okra, yes, but boiled, no. Can I tell you something? Tell him why you love him. Sing songs to him about his love. You know I don't sing well. No comments, no amens, and no glory to God's. But I'll promise you, almost every day of my life, I'll sing about the love of God. I'll be singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And I'm thinking about how much God loves me. Or, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that you love me. You even love me. Wow. You know, it doesn't take too long to start loving on God that way. Thank him for loving you. By the way, before you ever ask him for anything, tell him you love him. Ladies, it's just like trying to get some money out of your husband to get a new dress. You got to butter him up a little bit before you hit him with that, by the way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Fellas, it's like you want to buy a new tool or gun or toy or whatever you want to buy, and you got to love on your wife a little bit and butter her up before you tell her what you're going to do. You know, God doesn't mind being buttered up before you talk to him. Number two. By the way, and I'm going to go through this in just a second here, but verses 5 through 10, you notice he taught them about prayer, and the illustration he uses is about a man going to a friend. So point number two, ask God for things as you would ask a friend. God wants a friend relationship with you. God wants to spend time with you as a man would with his friend, or a lady would with her friend. Notice in verses 5 through 10, he uses, if a man had a friend, and he went to that friend and said, somebody's come to my house, I don't have anything to put before him, and I need something, and I need your help, would you please help me help this other friend? Did you notice God has a friend relationship attached to prayer? And he was teaching the disciples, look, you want to talk to God, but you need to talk to him as a man talks to his friend to help somebody. If I knew somebody in this room, if I knew Brother Mark had a need and Brother Joe could help me, I'd say, hey, Brother Joe, how's it going, man? Everything going all right? Hey, I got a friend. It's Brother Mark. You think you could help me help him? Guess what? That's exactly how you go to God in prayer. You go to God in prayer as a man talks to another friend. So many times, and by the way, I don't think it needs to be casual or flippant or disrespectful. I was not disrespectful to him, but I was talking to my friend. Y'all see what I'm talking about? I don't believe this. And I'm going to date myself here, but I don't believe in this hippie mentality of talking to God. You know, the man upstairs. We're just cool and close together. You know what I'm talking about? That's garbage. Yes, I grew up in the 70s, all right? I'm not talking about trying to brag about how close you are. That's called Pharisaism. I am trying to tell you there is a way to get close to God and to talk to him, and it's as a man talks to a friend. Do you know that when I talk to my friends, I don't have to be arrogant or expectant? I hardly ever ask any of my friends to do anything without you hearing this statement. You'll hear me say this. No is not a bad answer. And if you can't do this, or it's going to hurt your family to do this, I don't need your help. I need it to be because it's something you could do and something you want to do. And don't do it just because I'm asking. You can tell me no. When's the last time you ever talked to God that way? You know, I don't want to walk up to Brother Mark and say, Brother Mark, we have to do this. Good night. That's not a good friendship. I wanted to say, Brother Mark, I got an opportunity. You interested in helping? If not, it's okay. And if so, great. Let's go do it. Brother Stoltz, man, I got this opportunity. Are you interested? There's times he's had to tell me no. Kills him. Because I know how this guy's wired. There's times I've told him, no, you're not doing that. You say, why? Because he's got too much on the plate right now. And I'm trying to protect my friend. Everybody doing okay? When's the last time you talked to God that way? As a man talks to his friend. Not in this arrogant, expectant way. I've heard preachers get up and say, oh, you've got to take God's word and you've got to hold God to his word. You've got to go through the Bible and say, God, you said it here. Now you have to do this. I don't know about you, but if my kids come back to me and say, Dad, you said you're going to do this. Now you're going to do this. I may do it, but it's not going to be that way again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's what happened when the prodigal son went to his father and said, you owe me my inheritance. I'm going to take it now. Before you die, I'm going to spend my part of it. Go ahead and give it to me now. That's the way the average Christian prays to God. Give me my inheritance now. I want this now. Here's what you said. Now you got to do it or else. Who are we to tell God that? Everybody doing okay? So, number one, spend time loving on him. Number two, ask God for things as you would ask a friend. Number three, let God know it's okay if he says no. Let God know it's okay if he says no.
God, you know, we've been working on this, and I really think I need this. Now, if you don't think I need it, it's okay. And I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to whine about it. I'm not going to fuss about it. This is what I think we need. And if we don't need it, would you show us what I need? That's how I talk to God. I really do. I don't demand God answer prayer. I spend a lot of time with sick people and dying people. And I try to help families who are going through the process of losing family members. And there are times that people will say, I just can't afford to lose them right now. But they don't realize it's not ours. God is the giver and taker of life. Sally, we met over that experience. And I said, it's okay. We'll let God control the timing. We'll let God take care of Norman. We just got to be willing to accept God's timing. We'd like to hold on to him a little longer, but if not, it's all in God's timing. And God gave you, what, 8-9 days, something like that, if I remember, a little bit longer than she thought she was going to have. Gave the family time to get together and spend some time together. And just was some amazing things that took place. Some healing that was allowed to take place. But can I tell you something? God still took him. You know, I don't think she really wanted to let go. But can I tell you something? Not complaining about it sure makes it a little easier.
Now listen to me. You have no right to demand that God answer your prayer. Who are you? You know, I have no right to demand of God anything. Right. And I'm going to make this statement. God is good whether he gives you what you want or not. Years ago, I heard a preacher preach, God is good all the time. Amen. And God is good all the time. God's good when things are going good. God's good when things aren't going good. God's good when he answers your prayer the way you want. And God's good when he tells you no.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes no is for your benefit and you just don't see it yet. You see, by the way, we have churches that we get judged by our things, not our relationship with our God. I don't judge a church based on its facilities. How's the spirit? Amen. How's God working? You see, God wants you. God wants you. He's not interested in your things. I'm going to make a statement here. He's not even interested in what you have to offer him. He just wants you. He wants a relationship with you. Brother Ron, you can have a relationship with God I cannot have, because God made you the way you are. God made me the way I am. Julianne, God made you to have a relationship Brother Ron can't have, nor I can have, nor your mom can have. Because God made you as you are. And I'm glad he didn't make you like her. Now watch this for just a second. Did you know we have to learn what that relationship is? By the way, as we get older, as we mature, those relationships change a little bit and get stronger and deeper. Did you know when my children were real small, the relationship was different than it is while they're adults? Say why? Because there's a greater ability, greater capacity to love because of their maturity level. How old is your daughter? 7. Do you know that she has an ability to love, and she loves her preacher, and she loves me, and I love her. But did you know that my big, ugly 24-year-old son loves me a whole different level than you do, sweetie? Say why? He's had 24 years of training, and he's known me longer. Now, she loves me as deeply as she can love me, and I love it. But watch this. My son loves me too. My daughter loves me. They've known me longer and they've matured a little bit longer. By the way, this is hard to believe. Did you know my dad and my mom love me more than my kids do? Because they've known me longer than my kids have known me. I'll let you do the math on that one. Do you know my wife loves me more than my children love me? She didn't leave, they did. And I told them they were going to leave, and they didn't believe me. But I was right. I stayed. Amen? Now watch this. Let God know it's okay if he tells you no, that you're going to love him anyway. Number 4, and I'm done. Allow God to change your wants. Allow God to change your wants or your desires. You know, when I talk to God, Brother Stoltz, I say, God, this is what I want. Man, I'm really excited. And then all of a sudden something hits me. Unless that's not what you want. Because you see a whole lot differently than I do.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. And God, though I'm really, really, really wanting this, if it's not what you want, would you show me what to want? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It didn't say he'd give you what you want. He said he would change your desires. The prerequisite is delight thyself also in the Lord. We think, oh, I came to church, I read my Bible, I sang, I did all these things, now God give me what I want. Oh, no, 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 no. When you start praying like Jesus prayed, you say, Lord, would you just give me what you want? It's okay. It's like when I go home and it's dinner time, or it's about that time when my wife is going to go to the store and she says, what do you want me to get?
I don't care. Whatever you make, it's fine. I could eat the same meal every day and it wouldn't bother me. My wife says I have boring taste buds. It may be, but may I say this? Whatever she makes is fine with me. I'll eat it. Say why? Because I love her. I don't worry about what I eat. If I didn't like it, there's always a bag of chips in the cupboard. Amen? I'll say, how about we go get something else? Amen? Now, wait a minute. I love my wife. It doesn't, I might have deer steak on the brain and she's got fish. She doesn't like fish. I like it. She likes one kind. She likes white fish. That's it. If it even smells like fish, she doesn't want anything to do with it. Now me, as long as it doesn't grab a hold of my throat and choke me on the way down, I don't care what it is. I'll put it down the hatch. Now, wait a minute. God may hold off on answering your request because he knows there's something better for you. How many of you dated somebody else other than the person you're married to before you got married? Raise your hand and be honest. All right, Brother Ron, come on, put your hand up. How many of you dated somebody other than the person you're married to right now? Yeah, all right. How many of you had your heart broke on one of them? Raise your hand. All right. Can I tell you something? Some of you, it's a good thing you got your heart broke because you got the right one. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, I dated a girl a couple times. I said, Dad, what do you think? He said, you sure? Thought it was. Better give it some time. Didn't work out. Praise the Lord. You know, I saw her about 10, 15 years after my wife and I got married. She's bigger than that pulpit. She is mean, nasty, rough. I thought, that's not even the same person. I said, thank you, Lord. God knew how to speak through my father. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Even if God tells me no, I don't get discouraged because at least I got to spend time with him. If something doesn't work out the way I thought it should work out, at least I got to spend time with God. Whew. Ask him to help you see in the Bible and through counsel and through the preaching what he wants you to do. By the way, he always makes it very clear. You'll never wonder. He'll make it clear. I promise you. Prayer is not this liturgical, fancy, formal display of words to impress God. I love it when our men get up and say, Lord. I wish you could hear some of our men pray on Saturday morning prayer breakfast. It's great. It's not fancy. We're not there to impress anybody. We're there to get a hold of God. I love it. I love it. We're supposed to talk to God like a friend. Prayer is a relationship. I walked in to my truck this morning. I was praying on the way to work. It was a little bit before 5 this morning. I said, Lord, I need a cup of coffee. So I went to Sheets. And I said, Lord, sometimes on Sunday morning, the Saturday night crew, the coffee sometimes on Saturday morning tastes like they got the water out of the hose out back. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's got that little funky hose taste to it. I said, this morning's not the morning for that, please. But if that's what it is, I'll drink it anyway. I took that first sip and went, I don't taste the rubber hose. Thank you, Lord. I was in my truck doing that. on the way back from Sheets. You say, you did that? Yeah. Nobody else was awake at that hour. Who else could I talk to?
Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Prayer is more than a question-answer time with God. It's a relationship. When you pray, enter into a relationship with Him. Let's not worry about the result as much as the relationship. The results will care for themselves as you build the relationship with Him. By the way, that works in a marriage. By the way, that works with your children, whether they're at home or grown. Prayer is just talking to God. It's building a relationship. Let me ask you a question. How's your relationship with God? You hear it said sometimes, we preachers will use the term a walk with God. Say, why is it a walk with God? Because when I'm working and I'm with my friend, usually we're doing something and we're going somewhere. And we're walking together. You know, I do pray on many some, but I pray walking a lot more than and ever driving. Matter of fact, I pray a lot when I drive because all those crazy drivers out there. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. You don't have to be on your knees. Oh, thou God of Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all the other Boam belt boys. God of Jehoshaphat and all the other fat fellas. You don't impress God. Lord, I sure do love you. This is why I love you. Thank you for this and thank you for that. And Lord, I really think I think I need this, but if not, I'm not going to complain about it. And if it's not what you want, would you show me what to want? Wow. Can I tell you, when you have a relationship like that, it's fun to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Don't teach us a prayer. Teach us a relationship with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want the people of this church to have a relationship with their God in prayer. I want you to learn how to walk with Him and how He can be your friend that sticketh closer than a brother.